Regular Joe Frappella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin with some choice words. Truth is, most window dealers offer only one line of replacement windows, and it's vinyl. Not much of a choice, am I right? Sounds more like take it or leave it, so leave it. And choose Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Talk about choices. When others may have one or maybe two lines, with Pella, you get to choose from six lines. Two energy-efficient, budget-friendly lines of vinyl windows. Pella's exclusive Impervia fiberglass line, engineered to be the strongest material for windows, period. And three lines of luxurious wood windows, traditional and contemporary. That's six lines to suit both your taste and budget. Speaking of choices, right now, choose 18 months, no payments and no interest, or $300 off each window, $700 off a Pella entry system, and $1,000 off a Pella patio door. Whatever you choose, just be sure to book your choice by March 31st. Set your free consultation now at PellaWI.com. PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show. Oh, so good.
Well, good Friday morning to one and to all. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you at 9:06 a.m. Central Time, which, of course, as we look around the world, means in the Hollywood Hills, where the Parmesan cheese and other white powders flow far too freely, it is 7:06 a.m. Over in the West Indies, 10:06 a.m. Saudi Arabia, 5:06 p.m. And in Afghanistan, the quagmire on top of the foobar, laid at the feet of none other than Joe Biden, 6:36 p.m. And in Taiwan, where all eyes are glued to the sky, wondering, huh, is that just a commuter plane? Or is that a little gift from the communist Chinese? 10:06 p.m. That is your new and improved Biden Crime Family Time Check, brought to you at the top of each and every hour to make sure one never forgets the scum and the villainy that operates out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Peddling influence in your government for money into their pockets. This is the way it works, and that's why we do it, so one never forgets exactly who the Bidens are. Crooked as a dog's hind leg, you can be a part of our conversation today, as always, by dialing 888-455-1360. 888-455-1360. You can text 79489, and emails can be sent and shall be read at regular.joe@mwcradio.com. regular.joe@mwcradio.com. So we've got a little bit of an augmented open line Friday. We always do Fridays as open line in honor of the great Rush Limbaugh, but today we did a little bit of open line Friday yesterday. We'll do it from 10 to 11 today, but from 9 to 10, starting right now, sitting in studio with me is Kevin Nicholson, gubernatorial candidate for the state of Wisconsin. We're going to spend the hour together, but this is a great opportunity for you because he's here. You can call in, ask questions of Kevin. I ask that for this first hour, you keep the calls. We don't want to tie up the phone lines with other topics. If you've got a question for gubernatorial candidate Kevin Nicholson, call 888-455-1360 or send a text if you're stuck working at one of those overbearing places that won't let you openly listen to the show and call in. I don't know what these people are thinking. Of course, you can also send an email as well. Kevin, good morning, sir. Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. I love the lead-in. Just across the globe and the scandals all tied into it. It was
beautiful. Well, see, you get to see people don't realize there's actually a clock I have sitting on the screen that we have all these locations listed.
Yeah.
These are all places that the Biden crime family has, you know, branch offices. And now this according to, of course, all of the fake news, as they called it, that's now, we can all believe it now, because the New York Times told us it's real now.
Oh, yeah. So now the New York Times. I love the New York Post, though. If you read the New York Post articles on this, like, as the New York Times has finally acknowledged, the laptop that was found that
yes,
did
a little snark, which I appreciate the snark in that.
Yes, agreed.
You know, a year and a half ago, it's just all fake.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I don't know. I'd like to learn the process. There's something, it's almost like a religious experience. You know, you have transubstantiation in the Catholic Church. It's like the New York Times can transubstantiate news, right? It's all fake, but now the New York Times says it's so. Then we must all genuflect and say, oh, well, that's good to know.
It's something that reporters truly believe. I back in my early life, I ran a college newspaper. It was actually the fourth largest newspaper in the state of Minnesota. And What people don't realize about the influence of the New York Times is that they used to send out, and I'm sure they do something like this now, but they used to send out a screenshot of their front page. And newspapers across the country would receive this, and they would reformulate their front pages based on what the New York Times was going to run. Now, it's much easier to do this with digital.
Well, yeah. And we weren't going to talk about broadcast, but this is interesting.
Yeah.
Because this is, there's an old thing, and I actually, when I ran a radio network, I had a program director that I'd hired. Great guy, very talented, but he had no sense of risk, of adventure. And he once, when I asked him to add a song to the playlist that was a newer song, and he said, oh, I never do that. I always wait till someone else does it first, mm-hmm. make sure it's a hit, and then I add it to him, add it to my playlist. And I looked at him, and I'm like, no, that's not how we do this here. You know, we don't worry about what the other people are doing.
Right.
We're doing our own thing.
Right.
But it's very true. And again, peeling back that veil, people don't realize it's few and far between in the world of print media, even in broadcasting, people that will be mm-hmm. original.
Right.
And I think also, if you notice, though, those that tend to be original also, certainly on the conservative side, tend to do better because people appreciate someone that thinks for themselves. Anyway, all right. So enough with, so you're running for governor.
I am.
Which, by the way, maybe you could fix something with the newspaper system. No, anyway, I don't, free press, even if it's Gannett. Anyway.
Let's stop violence on the streets, and
yes,
then we'll get to
it. Yes, exactly. Next, right? So you're going to be with us tonight at the Take Back Wisconsin Rally Dinner in Outagamie County, which is pretty awesome. I don't know if you know the really, truly big news of that is I'm debuting our new Let's Go Brandon t-shirts at this event.
Oh, outstanding.
So,
I'm looking forward to
this. That's, I'm sure, driving thousands. But anyway, so tell us about, you've been on the road now for quite a while, running for governor a couple months now. What are you seeing out on the road in terms of the reaction that you're getting, the stances that you're taking?
Well, I had mentioned to you this earlier, just last night in Milwaukee, we had an event where for St. Patrick's Day, 200 people showed up, and they are all fired up, just like what we're seeing across the entire state, to actually get society back on track. And what I have asked every audience that I've talked to since I've started this campaign is, do you feel that our society is off kilter? I've yet to have a person disagree with that statement. People do feel deeply that from education, when Wisconsin kids are being taught to hate themselves, to hate their country, to hate their fellow Americans on the basis of race, that's fundamentally wrong. When we see violent crime and drug abuse spreading across our entire state, this needs to stop and it must be fixed. And when we see our elections run like a mess, or we see our society shut down by our politicians and literally reality suspended for, almost a couple of years, that we understand there's things that are fundamentally wrong. This isn't about a crime wave. This is about the dissolution of law and order. And I'm running for governor to get society back on track. And people do understand that.
Now, that last piece, you talked about election integrity. This has been an interesting week in the state of Wisconsin. We talked about this when you were called in by phone. But while we're together, I wanted to just quickly address, because this is something where I have to claim I get confused. Yesterday I had a libertarian on. Someone said, how are you? You're a radio host. You get confused. They misunderstand what I mean when I say that. It's not that I can't reason or logic through certain things. I just don't understand how people get to certain conclusions. Maybe 8 weeks ago now, time kind of blurs in that sense. But you had taken Paul Farrow, the chairman of the Republican Party, to task. And there's been this kind of blowback to that confounded me, which is that you were attacking the base of the party, the grassroots activists. And the reason this confounds me, and I've been doing this an awful long time, I've never in my career found people that thought that the head of the party, whether the state party or the national party, was the grassroots. That's never been a correlation that I'm aware of until now. Then fast forward to Wednesday, there was two meetings with Speaker Voss, one where experts were brought in. Later that night, he met with the county chairs. Paul Farrow was at that. And by every account that I've heard from these meetings, I'd say what you said to Paul Farrow was pretty spot on because we're talking about it, and we even have the sound of Speaker Voss saying, I believe there was widespread fraud in the 2020 elections, but he's not willing to take any action to correct that. So to turn it to you, first of all, were you attacking the grassroots, or was it something different when we look at what happened this week?
Well, I was definitively not attacking the grassroots, and I tell the grassroots that when I talk to them. This is coming from some of my primary opponent, and certainly from Robin Voss and from Paul Farrow, too, the attempt to manipulate my comments, where I've said we have a Madison-based machine running the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They've been more or less responsible for losing 11 out of 12 statewide general elections in Wisconsin, 11 of our last 12. They are really effective in primaries because they own certain parts of the machine. They have party endorsement processes that they try and force people through that I've already said you shouldn't do. I don't want the party's endorsement before the primary. They shouldn't even engage in it. And I've been very clear with them. I sent that lesson to the entire grassroots of the state of Wisconsin. It was incredibly well received. So this is politics.
There shouldn't even be a convention before the primary's done.
Well, yeah.
We don't do it any other time. It makes no sense.
It's an attempt to get the tail to wag the dog, to get a couple hundred delegates together, to have them endorse someone that the Madison machine wants endorsed, and then to try and shove that through the primary. And so, look, it has led to our losses in 11 out of 12 races. It is undue influence, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And Paul Farrow and Robin Voss know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is politics. People talk past each other. So I point out something that everyone in the room knows, the fact the emperor's got no clothes, that this Madison machine is not doing an effective job of winning elections or affecting change, to your point, once they actually do have power, when they have power. And their answer is, stop attacking the grassroots. I'm not attacking the grassroots. Well, I'm attacking Paul Farrow and Robin Voss.
Well, I think, if I recall, it was 52 out of the 72 counties called for a full cyber forensic audit, which fell on deaf ears. And that was party. Now, because that's even a different thing. When you talk about people that are more tied to the grassroots, the county party chairs are far more. And interestingly enough, they're not exactly singing from the same page,
right,
that Paul Farrow and, for that matter, Robin Voss are. So interesting. Now, I just wanted to clarify that because, again, even this week, as I said, 400 people showed up as a counter protest at that event in Plover. And I've spoken to several party chairs, county party chairs, very consistent message, which was basically they're being told, get on, it's time to step up, do as we tell you, run, make everything nice and ignore the fact that we're not doing the things we should be doing.
Well,
and that's not a message that resonates with any of the people I speak to.
It doesn't. And I've been asked this question. Well, you're going to run a primary. That's going to create disunity and all this other stuff. You're going to call out the fact. And I am. I'm very direct where I disagree with my primary opponents. And I make it about the issue, of course. Like I make it about, for example, we'll talk about law enforcement today. I have some very substantive plans of how we get law and order reestablished. And I got a primary opponent who's running around saying she wants to surge the state patrol to violent areas. Well, we only have 500 state patrol in the whole state, and I think that's ridiculous. So I'll make those substantive differences. People will come back to me and say, well, that's disunity. And I'll say, no, actually, that's what we have to say in order to reach
people. Well, we have to
know
what's the difference between personal attacks, I'm not in favor of
course.
But separating what people believe, that's why we have primaries.
That's it.
So that we can do that. Now, on the law enforcement, before we hit the break, you have some pretty big news. I mean, you had a big week with law enforcement. You received an endorsement of a sheriff that everyone knows by name.
Yep.
Shall I tell him, or do you want to share the news?
Oh, so we released an incredible list of 30 sheriffs across the state. And it's my law enforcement advisory team, and it's an incredibly important part of what I'm going to talk about at my 5-point plan to reestablish law and order. On that list is Sheriff David Clark, and we're thrilled to have him there.
So, and I say, someone that this audience knows extremely well, done some great events with him. As a matter of fact, to tie it all together, he and I have been talking about how to make the Toss Voss rally that I've been trying to put together happen. So a great guy, solid law enforcement. I think that's a big feather in your cap to have that. And also you received an endorsement from a very pro-life, pro-family group this week as well.
Wisconsin Family Action. Yeah, no, this is an incredible week in terms of people stepping up and helping our campaign move forward and carry forward the message that, look, we need to get society back on track. And I've got incredible respect for Wisconsin Family Action, everything they do around protecting innocent life, but also too just encouraging our leaders to focus on building families and keeping families together, because if we can't do that, we're not going to get anything else right in society.
Well, so. Again, where the family goes is where everything goes. When you have the death of the family, you have the death of society. I mean, that's even, you can go back to history in Rome.
Right.
I mean, the last great republic and where it failed. Well, we're here with Kevin Nicholson, Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate. Got to hit the break. When we come back, we will go to the phones. People calling in with questions for Kevin Nicholson. You can call in as well, 888-455-1360, or send your comments to our text line, 79489, emails to regular.joe@mwcradio.com.
This is the Regular Joe Show.